This is a nice sort of active scene that Mark writes out for us. Jesus is on a journey. It happens to be that he's on his way to Jerusalem to die, and he keeps telling his disciples that, but at this point, Mark just says, Jesus was on a journey. When a man came and fell down on his knees. A great way of saying, here is somebody who understands, who has some humility and humbleness, and understands that Jesus is master, a Lord, a good rabbi. And this man wants something. He wants to know what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. I always worry when people of faith are talking about wanting something, trying to get something, trying to find what it is they need to do in order to get something from God. It changes faith into some form of a transaction, like in the marketplace. Hey, God, I'm looking for this. What have you got? Well, I've got a really good one of that. Oh, that does look pretty good, but too much for me. What else have you got? Well, I got this one. Well, could I get that for just getting baptized? No. You'll need to do a little bit more than that. How about church, say, once a month? Well, I could make it once a month and then a couple of extra times a year. Sold! It's a transaction, and I, you know, there's just something about that that says to me it's less about having faith, trust, love of God than it is about doing what needs to get done to get what you want. And as I said last week, it seems to me our God is much more of a relational God, is much more interested in that connection with us. And I think we should be the same. And maybe this man understood some of that, because he doesn't say he wants to get eternal life, earn it or pay for it. He wants to inherit it. He wants to be a part of the family, part of the will of God, if you will, in order to inherit. And maybe that takes away some of it. It's certainly not the point of this story in Mark. And Jesus, after, you know, saying, God's good, I'm Jesus, says, you know what the commandments are. Did you notice the commandments that Jesus listed here? Were there 10? Someday I'm going to give a sermon, and I'm not going to do anything but ask questions of you people. This is not a trick question. None of them are trick questions. Were there 10 commandments in what Sonny read? No, thank you, Joe. He shook his head. No, there were about 5. Did you recognize the 5? There are 2 sets of commandments. There's the first set that talks about our relationship to God and how we honor God, what it means to be faithful to God. And those are important. This set that we have is a set, 6 of them? Okay. Yeah, well, part of the problem with the 10 commandments is that there's not really 10 exactly. Depending on how you want to count them, there might be 9, there might be 11. Some other day we'll deal with that. Right now there's 2 sets, and this is the second set that talks about how we relate to each other. Don't be killing people. Don't be lying to them. Don't be stealing from them. Don't be coveting their stuff. Honor your father and your mother. These are how we interact with each other. And that's a really cool part of this story. And what's really cool is that the man says, yeah, I know them. I have done that since my youth. I don't know about you, but I kind of expect Jesus, when confronted with somebody like this, to say something along the lines of, oh, really? But that's not what happens here. Jesus, we're told, looks at him. Remember that for next week. Looks at him and loves him. What a beautiful moment that is. Looks at him and loves him. Sees him and loves him. And then answers him, tells him. Jesus never gives a straightforward answer. Well, it doesn't often, but here he does. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Here's the answer. Sell everything, give it to the poor, come follow me. Wow, clear direction from Jesus. And the man, we're told, shocked. Do you remember what emotion, other emotion, he said, or we're told he had?
Sorrow,
really close. In fact, I'd give you credit for it. The word that this translation, because it's always a matter of translation, the word that this translation uses is grief. He grieved. He was sorrow. He grieved at a loss. Now, I think that this story is purposefully vague or ambiguous, because we're not told why he was grieving. We're not told why he was shocked. And we're not told what he did. We don't know if he grieved because he didn't want to lose all of his stuff. He worked hard for it. He earned it. That's his stuff. My stuff. I'm not giving it away. I'm not selling it. I'm not losing it. Or if he was grieving because he had so much stuff, it was going to take a long time to sell it and then find a way of giving it to the poor. All right? Personally, I hold out hope that it was the second part of that. But I think it was purposefully ambiguous about what happened. Now, the disciples here are fascinating to me. They're like, what? Huh? Really? What's going on here? Did you hear why they were surprised that this rich man would not inherit? Because he was rich. What's that? Yeah, they're thinking that the rich obviously are going to be the ones who inherit. If the rich cannot inherit, then who can? Who can if the rich cannot? Well, you know, that goes to a theology, Old and New Testament, that God blesses the righteous and gives to them many riches and all these worldly goods. That's where they're sitting. It's not where Jesus stands, and it's not where Jesus calls us. But maybe we can take a quick lesson from the disciples in realizing that rich or poor, we're all people. And we all stand before God. Though I do want to mention Peter. Look, he says to Jesus. It's not like, look. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Look here. We have given up everything, just like you asked him, and we have followed you, just like he wants to. Well, he's trying to demand his share of that inheritance, that eternal life. He wants to say, I've done it, we've done it. Don't you be denying us. And Jesus says, well, of course. Anybody who does what you've done for me, for the good news, well, you're going to inherit. And I love the list. I hadn't quite noticed that list before. You will inherit homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, persecutions. Persecutions. We tend to skip over that. And certainly any of the prosperity gospels or theology that says that God blesses the holy with riches forgets that point of there are persecutions as well. And then he says, and in the world to come, also eternal life. So that's the answer to the disciples sort of going, what? Huh? Which is a useful tactic when you're writing, to have someone unsure of what's going on so that you as the writer can then clarify for the person in the story, when in truth, it's being clarified for you and me. But I want to go back just a little bit in this story to what Jesus says. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Can you see how that answer is consistent with what he's already said? Possibly not, because it's taken me a long time to see it. That set of commandments is how we relate to each other. Rules, commandments, but they are sort of a requirement. They're very different. But what Jesus is saying now is, okay, you've done that. Beautiful, man. Beautiful. But you owe people more than just following these rules. Can you care about them? Can you let your heart be broken? Can your heart go out to them? Can you relate to them as something other than just an object, a thing that you must treat in a certain way according to these rules? That, I think, is at least part of the intent of what Jesus is saying to that man. You can follow the commandments, but that can be kind of dry. Can you love them? Can you care for them? The sermon title comes from Psalm 51, which we had as a call to worship. And somebody was noting that in some ways this passage in Mark seems to be calling up some stuff from this psalm, which I thought was fascinating because I know this psalm for Ash Wednesday. It's a great Ash Wednesday psalm. Woe is us, hyssop, ash, and we're no good. You're good. We're still no good. But this section is a little bit different. And in it, the psalmist is saying, Lord, Make sure I have a righteous heart. Make sure my heart has holiness. And make sure I've got a willing heart. And that's the part where Psalm 51 ties in to this passage. According to this person, and I think he's right, it's that willingness. It's more than just following commandments. Are you willing to care for them, relate to them, let them be part of your inheritance, those sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts and children and everything else? Can you get that close to them? Are you willing to do that? And this person was saying that that word willing is important here because it's a word in Hebrew that ties into some other words. It ties into nobility. It ties into generosity. And so the psalmist is saying, Lord, give me a noble heart. Give me a generous heart. Give me a heart willing to be generous and to be noble. So Jesus says, yep, follow the commandments and have a noble heart. Take whatever nobility you have. Take whatever righteousness is in your spirit, is in your heart. Take whatever holiness that is in you. Combine all of that with a willing heart. And then come, come, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Love them. Let your heart break for them. Care for them. Inherit them as your family, and then follow me. Because you will be following me at that point. And I say all of this to you folks this morning because I have a hunch that you are just like that man who kneeled before Jesus, willing to kneel down, willing to say, you are my master, and wanting to be faithful, wanting to inherit what God promises. And like that man, you're able to say where you've done some things right and well. Those times when you've been aware of holiness and you've acted in a holy sort of way. And maybe you're even aware of that willing, generous, noble heart within you. Which just leaves us at the very point that we leave the man who started this story. Knowing what needs to be done. And then having to decide if we are going to do it. Just like him. And that is why I hold out the belief that this man grieved because he had a lot of work to do. And he wanted to do it. And he wanted to follow Jesus. Amen.